In December of 2003, you issued a message as NASA administrator commemorating the birth of the second century of flight, and you said, "Daring achievement of two bicycle makers from Ohio and how it opened a new era in human history." Can you talk about the importance behind that achievement, especially in light of the remarkable events of January of 2004?
Well, it was the beginning of an entirely different mode of communication, not to mention transportation, but also interaction and exchange between and among people on a very, very accelerated time basis. And this was dramatic, to have the capacity to actually go from one location to another in fairly, contemporaneous, time frame, to inform a dialogue, commerce, thought leadership, everything that you can imagine that rolled into this. And it had enormous implications in terms of just the capacity to achieve flight that, again, just changed the entirety of the dynamic of how we interact as humans on this planet. And it accelerated to the point where, with the focus of where we're going on this is the opportunity to explore beyond where we live now. And that was, nothing more than really a fantasy that Jules Verne and others would advance, that were interesting, academic kind of debates, but at the same time not considered to be anywhere near as contemporary as what the opening of the opportunity for flight achieved. In the most basic ways. Again, the postal system, everything else, all these things suddenly achieved at much more accelerated basis. And it accelerated in the process commerce, communication, intellectual curiosity, all the other things that stem from that.
And as far as the Mars rover Spirit and Opportunity landings, can you relate to us the level of excitement or anxiety or whatever else, what other emotions you may have been feeling or the team was feeling that accompanies a mission like that?
Sure. Well, the excitement over it was generated by virtue of the capacity to finally document with some level of authority what the conditions on that planet are. Up until that time, it was all observable. It was based on flybys, satellite, equivalency of the estimating of what we thought might be there, but really not a whole lot of informed positioning of understanding it, based on the fact that very little had actually arrived on that planet up till that time. It was primarily restricted to a couple of machines with the size of a VCR that moved around in within about a 5-foot radius. So that was not insignificant, but at the same time, this was something that vastly accelerated the capacity to understand what we were looking at there, because the burning question that was possible now to begin to understand and answer is the origins of our own solar system and a deeper understanding of why a planet that must have looked and must have been composed an awful lot more like our own, why it changed in those millions of years ago. But up until that time, there was striking parallels and similarities of what must have existed on that planet that more closely resembled our own. It had an atmosphere, free-flowing water or something that created the cavernous capacities across the topographical landscape of that planet that, frankly, you could put the entirety of the Grand Canyon into and have a lot of room left over. So this was something very dramatic happened there, and or over some span of time, something dramatic evolved and changed it to the configuration and the conditions we see today that bear far less resemblance to our own planet than what it must have been at that time. So this has opened up a whole different realm of an informed understanding of the formation of our own, little bitty solar system here in what is otherwise a colossal galaxy and a hugely expansive universe that we just barely could get our mind around how massive it was. So this was another major step in that direction. It was part of that same continuum of achieving essentially what we were able to do at the turn of the 20th century to really dramatically improve the understanding of ourselves as civilization, as culture and societies and everything else by the dawn of the age of flight, to now understanding, a much deeper understanding of what the planet Mars looks like, our closest neighbor, the equivalence. This is not even the difference between central New York and the Catskills. We're talking about, Binghamton over the state line kind of thing. And so in the greater scheme of things and in the greater expanse of what we're talking about, this is the closest neighbor we have. And so understanding that curiosity, having the curiosity, no pun intended, given the fact that was one of the two names, to really go pursue that and understand the import of what we're looking at here was a huge achievement. There's no doubt about it. The anxiety was that we had a miserable record up to that time. What's kind of forgotten now in history is that up until January of 2004, a lot of space scientists would frequently refer to Mars as the dead planet rather than the red planet, because everything went there to die. And we've sent an awful lot of people all around the world, lots of other space agencies and, intrepid explorer endeavors to try to accomplish this, donated a lot of very expensive craters on that planet and got not much out of it.